Session number 8255.
Mr. Broom, Reel 6. Did you ever think that the Chinese communists ever had a chance of winning in their insurgency after the war?
I personally never thought they had a cat's chance in hell of winning. And I was surprised to find that quite a number of knowledgeable people really did contemplate that they might possibly be successful. After all, their numbers were really pretty small. Taking the whole lot they had during the war and everything, I don't think they mounted more than 5,000 people. They were very poorly armed. They only had personal weapons. They had no military experience or anything. But, of course, a guerrilla war is a very difficult war to fight against because you're never there on the scene. You're always second on the scene. And the guerrilla warfare takes place against civilians and people mostly. And that's why it becomes so difficult. You can disrupt the economy of a country by guerrilla warfare quite successfully. They never succeeded in doing that in Malaya, actually. But the action against them was tremendously expensive in men, manpower and everything. The enormous amount of effort that was put into beating the communists in Malaya was really quite phenomenal. And as far as I know, the most successful, if not the only successful, counterinsurgency that took place in Asia at that time.
How much support did the Chinese communists have amongst the Chinese population?
Not very much. Of course, there again, they could work by intimidation. I suppose they were doing the same in the war. Our supplies came from farmers living on the edge of the jungle, what we used to call squatters. And they used to supply the guerrillas and therefore us, and they were doing exactly the same during the emergency. And that was why we had to carry out a draconian and tremendous measure of removing all these squatters from the edge of the jungle and putting them into villages, new villages. A tremendous administrative undertaking which was highly successful.
Did they try to organise such actions as strikes or political demonstrations against the British?
Yes. Oh yes, they did that. Not many real demonstrations in the way we have demonstrations here. Strikes, certainly. They weren't terribly successful even in that, but they did have a lot of strikes organised by them, but they didn't last very long.
Could you distinguish between different sections of the Chinese population according to which ones might support and which ones might not support the communists? I mean, you've already mentioned squatters, yeah. But apart from that?
Yes, you could differentiate, certainly you could differentiate the main body of Chinese who vaguely supported the Kuomintang, who of course were the anti-communists, and then the more wealthy sections of the Chinese community, plus the straight Chinese, that's to say the local born, all of whom were anti-communist. I don't think that you could say that they really had much support among the local population at all. Even so, they were able to make an awful nuisance of themselves.
What about the Indian population? What was their attitude during the insurgency?
Trying to stay out of everything the whole time. There were very few Indian communists. There were one or two, but very few. And the Indians became pretty good when we were turning over to democracy and elections and things like that, because the Indians knew about them from their experience in India. They were quite interested at that time. But before that, when it was a British administration, nothing else, the Indians kept very quiet altogether.